If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Revelation. Today we're going to be in Revelation 21. Last week we sort of took a break as we came back together for the first time. It was our birthday and we sort of took a challenge to be able to look and recommit ourselves as we come back to be God's church as the assembled people. And today we're going to finish our series that we were looking on in hope. And today we're going to be looking at the hope of heaven, the hope of heaven. And so I want to encourage you to keep your Bibles open to Revelation chapter 21 this morning. We'll also look a little bit at chapter 22. But for this time's sakes, we're just going to look at verses 1 through 5 as we read. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that there is hope. Lord, especially in our world today where it's so much needed. And today as we look at, Lord, your home, one day our home for those that know you, Jesus. Lord, we ask that you would allow us to reflect upon what you have prepared for us. And Lord, that it would fill our lives with hope. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I went and played golf on Friday with my kids. We were out of town, and we actually played at the beach and got to meet a guy and play with him. He's from Fresno. And usually I get this question when I meet somebody new. They ask, what do you do, and that type of thing. And then as I'm beginning to get older, they ask this question. Because they always ask, where are you originally from? Because they can tell I'm not from California with a little bit of a southern accent. And they say, are you going to retire here in California? And no comment. But you know, a lot of us, as we have seen in our congregation and everywhere else, people leave California and they go to somewhere else. And imagine if you are trying to choose and start a new life and you're going to move to a new city, you're going to want to know something about the place that you're going to be moving to. You'd want to know the demographics. You'd want to know what the government was like, what the climate was, the housing situation. What are the taxes that I'm going to have to pay? Can I afford it? Are there any parks? Is there anything to do for recreation? Well, is it safe? And today, we're going to see what our home is going to be like. What is the ultimate retirement going to be for the Christian? And today, I want us to look at a few things. And the first thing I want you to see is that there is a new heaven and a new earth. Notice in verse 1 of 21, it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. You know, it's interesting here that he says, listen, not only is there going to be a new earth, and we would all agree that there needs to be a new earth. This one is messed up, amen? But he also says there's going to be a new heaven. And we forget that Satan rebelled in heaven, and that even heaven has been tainted by sin. And so God says, listen, when we start over and the end comes, he goes, there will be a total redo and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And we get a glimpse of when this will take place in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." And God tells us, and this is something that we need to understand, is that the new heavens and the new, or the old heavens and the old earth are going to be done away with. And this reminds us that we do not need to attach ourselves to the things of this world, because they will not last. You know, Jesus said the same thing, didn't he? He said, heaven and earth will what? Will pass away, but my word will never. And so as you look at your life and you look at, what am I spending my focus on? Are you preparing for the eternal home? Or are you spending your time and effort for the things here that will not last? Notice it's interesting in that verse 1, he also says there will be no more sea. And I was a little disappointed when I read this, because I like the beach. Anybody else here like the beach? And it says in the new heaven, new earth, there's no more sea. That doesn't mean that there may not be large bottles of water. We know that there's the river that we'll see in a little bit. We know there's the crystal sea. But what we realize here is, what do oceans and bodies of water do to mankind? They separate us. And when we get to heaven, isn't it great that there will be no separation that will come between us? And as we think about our world today and all the discussion about the racial tensions and people not loving each other because they come from different backgrounds and different places, isn't it great that when we get to heaven, that all people will come together and we will not be divided, we will be one. Well, I want us to look at the focal point, and that is the New Jerusalem. And I want us to look in verse 2 when it says, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, we don't get to see all of what the new heaven is going to be like, or even what the new earth is going to be like. There's a lot of mystery that's going to take place. There's going to be a lot to explore. But what we do get is a picture of one element of it, and that is the city of Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. And we get to sort of do a demographic study today of that city and to see what heaven will be like. You know, many of us try to think, what would it be like in a maybe an earthly sense? And many of us know probably one of the greatest structures that was ever built was the Taj Mahal. It took 16 years to build. 20,000 workers. There's 28 different precious stones and marble. And it was made for a bride who had died. How much more beautiful will heaven be for a bride who is alive, who Christ has been saying, "Listen, I have gone to prepare a place for you," and he has been working to make this beautiful city for him and his people. We get a glimpse of what the government will be like in verse 3, as we see that we are going to be under what I call a benevolent dictatorship, because God is going to be king. Notice it says in verse 3, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be the people and God himself, and he will be with them and be their God." And we see here that God is going to be this king who is the one who not only does the right thing, but also has the right character. And I think we struggle in America today and in every nation, really, to elect leaders who will govern us. And many times we're having to choose. Do we choose somebody who is the right character, who has the right temperament, who says the right things, who does the right things? And oftentimes when we're electing leaders, we're not choosing between good and best. We're choosing between this evil or less evil. And isn't it going to be awesome that when we go to heaven, there's going to be no more voting, but that we're going to have the best government that there can be because God will be king. And then we see who the citizens will be of this kingdom. And it says that we will be his people. In verse 6, it tells who those people are. And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give the fountains of the waters of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." And so the only ones there are those who have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. The only people who will be in heaven are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this is important to understand, that we don't get to heaven by doing good or going to church services or serving others. Those are good things, but our works cannot save us. The Bible says that we are all born in sin, that we all do things wrong. And the penalty for sin is death. There's punishment to be separated from God. But Jesus came and he died on the cross, and 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And any who place their faith in him receive the gift of salvation. Their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not blotted out. And so they are guaranteed. They are the ones who will be with God in heaven. And in verse 8, it tells us who will not be there. It says, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all the liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And so we see that the big question that we have to ask ourselves today is, will we be in heaven? Do we know that we will be there when we die? Because the only people there are those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. So we see the government, we see the citizens, but we also get a glimpse of the size of this New Jerusalem. If you notice in verse 15, it says, "And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its walls. And the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal." And so we see that roughly, we see that Jerusalem is about 15 by 1,500 miles square. And it says it's that also what? High. So this is some gigantic, enormous city. These walls and everything. I mean, it's going to be a sight to behold. Now, to be able to get a glimpse of what 1,500 times 1,500 is, that's 2,250,000 square miles. Now, how big is that? Well, California is 163,707 miles. So it'd basically be like putting 14 Californias together, and that's just the size of the New Jerusalem. Man, that is huge. And so we have to understand that heaven is big. And what God desires is that for many people, from all tribes, all nations, all tongues, he desires that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has set the feast and he wants us all there. And so we have a responsibility, church, to go and tell people the good news that God has prepared the banquet, that God desires them to be there, that if they will repent of their sin and trust Jesus, that they can be a part of the new city. They can be a part of heaven. And isn't it glorious to think about how big this city is? Well, one of the things that we also see is the crime rate in this city. And we read in verse 9 that it says that Jerusalem is a holy city. It is the new Jerusalem. It is with people who, it says, are not with sin. There's no more lying. There's no more gossip. There's no more boasting. There's no more arguing. There's no more complaining. There's no more sinning that takes place. It is a holy city. It is totally separated to God. And not only are we removed from the penalty of sin, but we're moved from the presence of sin. And there is no sin to be found. And so we can finally say in this city, it's okay to defund the police because there'll be no need for them. Because we will have a perfect city where there will be nothing that anybody will ever do wrong. Won't that be glorious? To live in a place where you know that you will be totally safe and that everyone around you will be the same. We also see that there's also no natural disasters. If you look in verse 14, it tells us that there's 12 foundations that make up this city. 12 foundations. Now, in California, we all know about earthquakes. And we know what it's like to have a house on one foundation. It may have some issues. But can you imagine having 12 foundations? And so what God is saying is, listen, you are going to be in a place where you don't have to worry about stability. You are going to be okay. And it tells us that these 12 foundations represent the 12 apostles. It represents God's word. And you know what's interesting is Jesus said the same thing in this life. When he talked about the storms of life that are going to come. And in this life, we will have natural disasters. We will have storms. But this is what he says. He says, listen, if you are a person who takes my word and you do it, he says, you are like the man who builds on the rock. And even though the storms come, you will stand. And God wants us to know, listen, we don't have to worry about storms in heaven. We're going to be okay. We're going to be stable. It is going to be a perfect place. In fact, we see that we'll be absolutely safe as we look in verse 21. It says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and each individual gate was of one pearl. And it tells us in verse 25, it says, and these gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And so we have these beautiful pearly gates, but the gates aren't ever closed. You know why? Because there is no threat. There is no threat. There is no foreign enemy. There is no war. There's no one who can come and take over. God has got this taken care of. Isn't it going to be great that we can just be at peace and never ever have to worry about any outside influence or agent or anything to ever come against us ever again? But notice these gates are made out of pearl. And if you know a little bit about how pearls are made, it's when the oyster gets a grain of sand and it actually begins to inflame and it causes suffering to the oyster. And the bigger the pearl, the bigger the suffering. And so as we look at these pearls, we'll remember the suffering that our Savior did for us. That he came and he died and he shed his blood. And it'll be a reminder of what he went through so that we could have this place of security this place of safety. And then we also learn about the economy that will be in heaven. Notice in verse 21, it also says, "And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass." And God says, listen, the most valuable things of this earth will just be things that you will walk on when you're in heaven. I mean, can you imagine that? Can you imagine walking on gold? Because that's all it is all it is a footpath to us. So many people today live for gold. They live for the things of this earth, that they can just have more money, more value, these things. And God says, listen, those things will go away. The thing that is really important, the thing that you need to know, the thing that is valuable is to know me, because I will take care of all of your needs. And we're going to have a great economy in heaven, because we realize that if we are good stewards of what God has given us in this life, then we are assured of the blessing in the afterlife. And so the thing that we want to invest in, our resources, our time, our money, is in heaven. And so today, as you look at your life and you look at how you're giving to God with your time, with your talents, with your treasure, is it in the things that are eternal, or are you consumed about the gold of this earth? And then he tells us actually about the religion in heaven. And I love this. Notice in verse 22, it says, "But I saw no temple in it." There's not going to be a building. And folks, church was never about a building. Church, and I love meeting outside right now, amen? Because we're reminded that really what church is you look to your left and to your right, it's about the people. And it's about these people here being in the presence of our God. And what he says here in verse 22, he says, "I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple." And this is our religion. It's a relationship with God. It's a relationship with Jesus. That's what it's always been about. It's about knowing him and about worshiping him. And that's what we're going to be doing in heaven. And if you're a person who doesn't like to worship, man, you really need to check your life and your heart, because that's what heaven is going to be. And man, there is joy, there is love, there is fullness, there is satisfaction in worshiping Jesus Christ. That is what life is about. And that is what we will be doing. And then notice we also get a glimpse of the climate there. Notice it says in verse 23, "The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light." We see that there is no sun, there is no moon, there is no night. Just the presence of God and his glory is what will give us our source of light. Isn't that going to be awesome? And to realize that we're just going to be in the perfect climate. That we don't ever have to have this fear. There's no darkness. There's nothing to be scared of. We're going to be in the perfect place. And then we get to see what the health care will be like. And if you read in chapter 22, you get a beautiful picture of the Garden of Eden again, as it was intended to be. Notice in verse 1, he talks about the river of life. And in the verse 2, you see the tree of life. And in verse 3, he says, "There will be no more curse." And this is what we know, that in heaven, this is how great the health care is. You don't need any more doctors, because there is no more sickness. There is no more pain. There is no more death. And it's interesting, it says in verse 2, that we eat from the leaves of the tree of life, which brings the healing of the nations. That word is for therapeutic. It's as if you're continuing therapy. It's that we continue to get our nourishment. And so we see that we know that we will eat and we will constantly be in the perfect fullness of health in our new glorified bodies. And man, have you ever just woke up and you had one of those days, you didn't feel bad, but you didn't feel good? Anybody ever have those days? I mean, we've all had those days where we wake up and we feel sick. But have you ever just had a day where you wake up and you're just like, man, it's not that I feel bad. It's just that I just don't feel good. I don't have the energy, the enthusiasm. Man, can you imagine what it's going to be like to wake up every day just feeling good? And this is what God gives to us who, as a gift, who know Jesus Christ. There was a survey that was done recently, and not surprisingly, I think that in America, 72% of the people believe there is a heaven. But what I find interesting is that 85% of the people believe they're actually going to go there. There's 13% of the people that believe they're going to be in heaven, but they don't believe in it. I don't understand that part. But what's also probably not that much surprising is that 70% of Americans believe that there are many religions and many ways to get to heaven. But what I do find surprising is in that same survey, 42% of Christians also said that there are many ways and many religions to be able to get to heaven. And what I want us to make sure that we understand of how glorious heaven is and the hope that it brings is there is only one way to come and be guaranteed you will be in heaven. Jesus said this in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we need to make sure, A, that we understand that we believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And folks, as members here of Grace Baptist, that's what we hold to. That Jesus is not a way, he is the way to eternal life. He is the only way our sins can be forgiven. He is the only way that we can know. And that's what life is about, is to have this relationship with him. And we need to make sure that that's what our passion is that we go and make that truth known in love to a world that's without him, that they would understand that there's a Savior who loved them that much that they died and gave his life. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 about the faith of Abraham. And I want us to close reflecting upon how Abraham lived his life. And today I want to encourage you to do the same. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, their heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And I hope today that you'll get your eyes off the things of this world, that you will not live for the things of this world, but that you'll come and say, you know what? I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. But I do have my eyes on the homeland. I do have my eyes on that glorious city, the New Jerusalem, that one day will come from heaven. And when I see it in its 12 foundations and its pearly gates and the golden streets, I'm going to know that there's a God who's going to be my king. And I will be with other people. And the only people that will be there will be people like me, sinners saved by grace. And we'll just come and we'll have this one religion together. And we'll truly be one people under God. And we'll be safe and we'll be secure and all of our needs will be met. We'll never have to worry about bills. We'll never have to worry about the doctor. We'll never have to worry about crime. We'll get to enjoy the fellowship of each other and be with our Savior forever. Today, I hope that you have hope in heaven. Let's pray.